For over 20 years, the world's governments have been trying to craft a solution to global warming without much success. During that time, the U.S. government has been like the big-ticket movie star who's been offered the lead role but won't commit. Well, now President Obama thinks he's figured out how the U.S. can take the lead even without the support of Congress. NPR's Christopher Joyce reports.
When the world's first climate treaty was signed in Kyoto in 1997, President Clinton held an airport press conference to brag that the U.S. had showed the way.
I am very pleased that the United States has reached a truly historic agreement with other nations of the world to take unprecedented steps to address the global problem of climate change.
But months later, the U.S. Senate said, no, we're not going to ratify that treaty. The rest of the industrialized world did, though. President George Bush also wanted to do something about climate change, but he preferred encouraging private companies to invent new technologies to do that rather than engage with the United Nations. When President Obama took office, he was gung-ho to make the U.S. a climate leader. He had a national climate action plan to reduce emissions in the U.S., and he said the U.S. would return to the world stage.
And America will lead global efforts to combat the threat of a changing climate by encouraging developing nations to transition to cleaner sources of energy, and by engaging our international partners in this fight.
But once again, Congress wasn't going to play along. Democrats floated a climate bill, and Congress killed it. Many members worried that the bill would tie the economy in knots with complicated schemes to limit carbon emissions. At a climate bill hearing, Representative Ed Whitfield of Kentucky spoke for many of the doubters.
The way that this bill affects our production of electricity and the production of the fuel we use in America may very well dwarf the climate change problem.
Others just didn't believe the scientists' explanation of climate change, like Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, here questioning NASA climate scientist James Hansen.
I live in Wisconsin. You know, there were 200-foot-thick glaciers in Wisconsin. How do you explain man ever had a carbon footprint? How do you explain that carbon
footprint? The statement that you just made is blatantly false. How
do you explain climate change that occurred 10,000 years ago before man had a carbon print?
So the president decided to make climate commitments on his own, without Congress. Former Congressman Henry Waxman of California, who sponsored that failed climate bill, says Obama always had the authority.
What President Obama needs to do for the United States to meet its commitments does not depend on an act of Congress, because he can rely on the existing law.
One of those laws gives the president the power to regulate fuel efficiency in cars and trucks. David Sandelow, a professor at Columbia University's Center on Global Energy Policy, says the president went there first.
Within a couple of months of President Obama coming to office, he had broken a almost 20-year stalemate with respect to fuel efficiency standards from vehicles.
After raising those efficiency standards, Obama directed the Environmental Protection Agency to turn its attention to power plants that make electricity.
President Obama has pushed the Clean Power Plan, which are the first limits on heat-trapping gases from power plants in the United States. And it's the single biggest and most important step that we've taken to control greenhouse gas emissions.
The White House has finally come to a position where it can lead by example, working from a script it wrote itself. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.